Good afternoon to everyone. It's lovely to see you all here. So today, coming together, we really have a rare and precious opportunity. So generally in the world, we would say, what is the most precious object? Then it would be, probably would be a diamond. But we have an opportunity here that is of far greater value than anything that is valued in the world, such as precious stones or vast sums of money. We have the opportunity to receive teachings on the Buddha Dharma presented by a great master, Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And moreover, we also will have the opportunity to receive initiations from him. And so this opportunity we have now is to receive teachings on the Buddha Dharma, and the Buddha Dharma has been presented in many different ways, and we'll have the opportunity to hear about the Mahayana Buddha Dharma. And not only will we hear the presentation on the Buddha Dharma, but we'll also hear how to practice it, how to develop it within
ourselves.
So we have this rare and precious opportunity now to receive teachings on the Mahayana Dharma, to receive initiations, and all within the lineage of Jerumse Lama Tsongkhapa. So this is a truly unique opportunity and something that we should utilize as well as we can and use every moment, not allowing a moment to go to waste. Later in the time with Rinpoche, we'll have the opportunity to receive initiations or empowerment from him, and we receive advice on how to practice what he's bestowing upon us. So most of you will know about the preliminaries that are required to be able to receive such an initiation and engage in such practices, but some of you may not have heard these before, so we'll talk a little bit about that now.
The
Buddha himself, in order to become enlightened, received many initiations and put them into practice. And through practicing them, he was able to achieve the ultimate, the final goal, that state of Buddhahood. So it's with such a motivation, with such an intention, that the various types of teachings were later presented by the Buddha. When the Buddha Dharma was presented, within the Buddha Dharma, it could be divided in a number of ways. So one way is in the Pali tradition and the Sanskrit tradition. And these two traditions are also known as the Theravada and the Mahayana tradition. The Buddha presented the Mahayana teachings to his students, but after he no longer physically abided in the world, then the Mahayana Buddha Dharma went into a decline. But then some centuries later, then the Master Nagarjuna, he appeared in the world, and he once again presented and revitalized the Mahayana, Mahayana Dharma that the Buddha had previously taught. And following Master Nagarjuna, many other great masters appeared in the world, such as Asanga and Aryadeva, and they helped propound the Mahayana Dharma. So not them, but many others and great practitioners once again established the Mahayana Dharma in the world. In order to receive, or before the initiations are bestowed by Lama Sopa Rinpoche, he will teach as a preliminary to the bestowing of the initiations the Bodhisattva's way of life, or the Bodhisattva Charivatara. And so this was a famous text of the Mahayana Dharma that was composed by the Master Shantideva. Shantideva was born into a royal lineage. He was a son of a king. He was due then to inherit the kingdom upon his father's death. So such a situation, of course, would present him with great wealth, great power and prestige. And that is what most people desire in the world. And a king, certainly in the ancient times, kings had supreme power, supreme prestige and wealth. So all of that lay before him. However, he chose not to follow that path. He chose rather to ordain and study and practice the teachings of the Buddha. Shantideva, like all sentient beings, all of us here, our loved ones elsewhere, all sentient beings have the wish to experience only happiness. So whether one is accounted amongst the great in the world, such as kings or leaders or ordinary people, we all have this wish to experience happiness. But Shantideva knew that should he follow his birthright and attain and become the king, then whilst he would achieve the kind of temporary happiness that people aspire to, such as wealth and power and prestige, that happiness is transitory. It is not stable. It is not reliable. He had an understanding about the difference between temporary happiness and ultimate happiness. And that kind of temporary happiness, of course, is not stable. It passes and it can be lost at any moment. However, ultimate happiness, happiness that is unsurpassable, happiness that never declines, this he knew could only be achieved through the practice of the Buddha Dharma, through cultivating the mind of the Buddha Dharma within himself. So that was, with such an understanding, he chose to follow a new path. And we ourselves, we also have a similar understanding to that. And hence we are here now to receive the cycle of teachings and initiations.
The
Buddha presented many different teachings, and he presented them in according to the variety of dispositions and abilities of beings. So this system is actually something similar to what we have in the world, in that if someone has an aspiration to go to university and to study and become skilled in a particular area, Just that alone is insufficient. They rather first have to go through all the preliminary stages. So they'll go to school and progress through the various preliminary stages. And our schooling is laid out in this sequence, where one starts at the beginning level, develops skills, and then progresses to the next level, and further enhances one's skills, and thereby progresses further and further, and eventually one can go on to university and become greatly skilled in a particular area. So the Buddha Dharma is similar to this. It's presented in many divisions according to the various skills and abilities of practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
The supreme practices within the Buddha Dharma, in particular within the Mahayana Dharma, are those firstly of bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment, and secondly, the wisdom realizing emptiness. Shantideva, being a practitioner of the Mahayana, for him too, these were his main practices. So the mind of bodhicitta, which encompasses love and compassion, as well as the cultivating the wisdom, realizing emptiness. So those two practices were also the primary practices of Shantideva. So Shantideva, he presented himself within his community as someone who actually doesn't know very much, or probably it's clearer to say he presented himself as someone who knows nothing at all. He doesn't understand the Dharma, he doesn't meditate, and so this was how he presented himself. So he was a monk at the great Buddhist monastery in North India called Nalanda. And this was a monastery with a vast number of monks. And they looked at Shantideva and thought, this is a monk who doesn't study. Is a monk who doesn't meditate. All he just does is eat and sleep and pass the time. He's really just I think we'd say, it's a bit of a waste of space. And they thought, actually, the monastery would be better off without such monks, and they had the wish to expel him from the monastery. The monastery had the custom of regularly having presenting Dharma teachings. So the monks would take turns, and they would, on auspicious days, they would present a Dharma topic, maybe recite a text and explain the text they recited to an audience. So the monks devised the plan that rather than expel him from the monastery, force him to leave, which isn't a very harmonious way to treat someone, rather they would put him in a position where he would be so embarrassed by his lack of knowledge and his laziness, that rather than sit in front of an audience and have to explain the Dharma, he would flee the monastery instead. So they insisted that he actually, on one of these auspicious days, he teach a text to the audience. Mm-hmm. However, Shantideva wasn't very enamored with this idea. He repeatedly refused their request, but they insisted, and eventually he gave in, and he agreed he would present something. And Shantideva then accepted to give a presentation, and the day that was his turn was the 15th of the first Tibetan month, the Day of Miracles. So the monastery then set out a bastery of offerings, and they advertised this Dharma event far and wide. So many people came to receive these teachings, and they came with mixed motivations. Some had the motivation to hear a Dharma teaching, that this is what they had heard advertised. Others, though, thought, today we're going to have a bit of entertainment. Shantideva is going to be embarrassed and humiliated and will finally leave our community. So a large crowd assembled themselves in front of the throne where Shantideva would teach. As part of this cunning plan to humiliate Shantideva and encourage him to leave the monastery, they had assembled a very high throne, a throne that is just too high for anyone to easily ascend. Shantideva came, he saw this throne, reached up with his hand and pulled the throne down, and then easily got up on the throne. So that immediately caused some surprise amongst the audience, to say the least. And then he asked the question, what would you like to hear today? Would you like to hear a text that you've heard previously? Or would you like to hear something new? Thinking that Shantideva doesn't know any Buddha Dharma, then the audience requested him teach something new, because they assumed he'd know nothing, so he would have nothing to say. And so the audience now requested that he teaches something new. And in response to this request, Shantideva said, well, there isn't actually anything new to teach, in that all the great masters, all the great learned and realized masters of the past, they have presented the Buddha Dharma in its entirety. There is nothing to add to this, so therefore there is nothing new. Moreover, I'm no one special, that my way of speaking is not particularly eloquent or pleasant to hear.
Mm-hmm. 왔네. 이내는 최대 대바 유행 전화 유행 속에 행기를 쓰는 경우가 있어. 예수 지원은 최신과 한도하지 누구를 용발을 한 나는 이제 대바 매직인 대바 매직인 나는 이제 제주를 지식인 신으로 말해서 이게 내 상당 밑에 이제 내 최신 이렇게 평이 말했어. 한도 용 말했어. 그래서 이 한도 용 말을 누나신 말로 와. 자, 내 최 대바 유행에 담. 이게 최대 대바 유행 아니 나는
그거 얘기해 주세요.
한편이에요.
예스. 한도 무리스. 그렇게 나디 바치지. Sorry, the fault of a oversized head. 그렇게 나. 이거는 양키였습니다.
나래야 재생 지진에 저와 어디 코심으로 말해 직신으로 말씀을 재생 지진에 나한테 미지연의 미취시에 한도 농구에서 말해야 좋아메스. 이내 대화 유예지신 단어 유명도는 미취시에 단도 용어에서 매우 유예소.
네, 오사 학생의 지금 딱 파워도 지금 아. So, Shantideva, knowing that the rather mixed motivation of the audience, he knew that some really had no interest in hearing what he had to say. They just wanted to see him embarrassed and humiliated and leave. But some did have an interest.
确实是我的,所以,第一个是中央的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实是我的,确实
writing the text that we now know as the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And Svantideva was started to recite this text that later became known as the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And it's, as we know, it's an expansive text. And as he was progressing with his recitation and nearing the end of this teaching, he started to fly up in the sky and started to disappear in the distance. Yet his voice could still be heard. So Svantideva was now gone in the distance and people couldn't see him very clearly, but they could still hear his voice. And amongst the audience, some of the scholars, they had developed quite fabulous memories, and they were able to recall the entire text that he had, or the entire teaching that he had given.
And
이거를 이제 저한테 이야기했어요.
이제 주주 팀원 나로 소예의 주제지가 시고 주제지 가서 송고를 전에 다시 연기 유권에 이제 전주 팀 공사나 전주 팀다. 안에 가신 그 양매 안에 아주 송고 내지.
The subject matter of the text then is about what a bodhisattva should meditate on. So can I just check, can you hear me okay at the back now because of this thing moving around? Okay, good. So the subject matter of the text is what a bodhisattva should meditate on. So the various chapters present the information, the knowledge that bodhisattvas need to meditate on and practice. So to achieve, and then included within this, are one of the two main techniques presented for the attainment of bodhicitta. So bodhicitta is attained through either the development of the practice of the six cause and one effect method, or through the practice of equalizing and exchanging self for others. So Shantideva here presents the method of equalizing and exchanging self with others. So here he's presenting in this text how to develop bodhicitta within one's own continuum. And moreover, the text also presents the main practices of bodhisattvas, the practices of the six perfections. So that too is in this text. And then included within that is the practice of the perfection of wisdom, so that the development of the wisdom realizing emptiness. So in brief, this text presents two main topics, the development of bodhicitta and the practices of a bodhisattva, especially the practice of the wisdom or the development of the wisdom realizing emptiness. To attain the exalted state of Buddhahood, one has to practice bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness. Without cultivating the mind of bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness and developing them to the further state, Buddhahood cannot be attained. So Shantideva, based on his own personal experience, gave this teaching to his audience, and thereby this text came about. Earlier we heard about the different ways the Buddha Dharma can be divided, and we spoke about the Sanskrit tradition and the Pali tradition, or the Theravada and the Mahayana. Well, the Mahayana itself can be further subdivided into the tradition of the practices of the sutra path and the practices of the tantric path. To be able to practice Tantra, and practice it effectively so as that one attains the ultimate goal, the goal of Buddhahood, then it's imperative that the preliminary practices are first done. And the preliminary practices for the practice of Tantra are the cultivation of the minds of bodhicitta and emptiness. Later in Rinpoche's time with us, he will be bestowing a number of initiations. The purpose of an initiation is this is one needs to part of this rite to engage in the practice of Tantra. So before one engages in a particular tantric practice, one needs to be initiated into that practice or receive that empowerment. So that's Rinpoche will be doing that later in his time with us. But before that, one needs to become familiar with the preliminary practices to Tantra. In other words, the practices that lead to the development of the mind of bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness. So it's for that reason that we come to hear, whereas we will receive teachings on the bodhisattva's way of life. We here now have the opportunity to later receive initiations into the practices of Tantra, and before receiving those initiations, we all have the opportunity to receive teachings on this very clear presentation on how to develop the mind of bodhicitta within ourselves, how to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness within ourselves. So we all now have this very rare, this very precious opportunity to receive teachings on the development of bodhicitta and emptiness, as well as to receive initiations and engage in practices of Tantra. So it's imperative then that we develop a good motivation, and the best of all motivations is that of the Mahayana, where one generates the mind of bodhicitta, generates the intention that for the sake of all sentient beings, I will attain Buddhahood and lead them to the state of enlightenment themselves, the state of greatest happiness, the state free from all forms of suffering. And then accompanying this, one thinks about or meditates on the lack of true existence. So generating a motivation of bodhicitta and a motivation that's accompanied with the wisdom understanding emptiness. And if we cultivate this motivation in a way that's stable and powerful within us, then when we receive the initiations and we engage in the various practices, then we can be sure of rapid progress to the attainment of the state of Buddhahood.
ちっちゃい線、え、せやな。あの、とにかく
So tomorrow we'll talk about we'll present the reasons why, or the basis why one needs to develop the minds of bodhicitta and emptiness as preliminaries to be able to go practice tantra. So tomorrow we'll look at the reasons for this, and then furthermore we'll look at why it's imperative that one does engage in tantric practice and doesn't rely solely on the sutra path for the attainment of Buddhahood. So we'll finish here for today because it's the first full day of the retreat, and you guys got up early, so we'll end our talk a little bit earlier tonight. And thank you.